Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon. My name's Keith Overt. This is Pensacola Business Radio, broadcasting live from DeVillers. Got a lot of good guests in here today. I'd like to introduce Lori Murphy with Coastal Keepers.
Emerald Coast Keepers.
Emerald Coast Keepers. Okay. Patricia Madison with Campfire. I have a great story to tell you, too, before we're done here today. Don't let me forget.
All right.
And then Colleen Chesley.
Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, I knew it was a long one, and I didn't want to mess it up. So, okay. So, thank you all, honestly, for being here. This is fantastic. I really hope that we get to share your story here today and let everybody know what it is that you guys do. So, with that being said, Lori Murphy, talk to us. What is your what's your organization's mission? What do you do?
Well, what we do, Keith, is we help enforce the Clean Water Act. And I have a territory of six counties. And basically, I look at residential issues from anywhere from golf courses to wastewater management issues to water quality issues with our drinking water, the bays and bayous to see if there's any bacterium that might be at risk for swimming. And we look at industrial pollution and see how that may be affecting and make sure that they their proper permits are in place and there are ponds that are lined and that sort of thing.
So you are a water soldier.
I am. I'm the water police. That's what I kind of like to say. It's easier that way. People can relate to that.
Well, so, you know, it's Coast Keepers, but obviously you're doing more than just the coast, right? You're saying retention ponds and anything water. So
correct. We work with rivers, streams, springs, creeks, bays, bayous, and the Gulf of Mexico.
Wow. And Florida has plenty of them for sure, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
So what's your territory then?
Well, I start off at Perdido Key at the Alabama state line, and we run all the way to Cape San Blas in Gulf County.
Wow. That's far. So I don't even know where to begin. Like how many different items is that? I mean,
well,
are we talking?
There's four different watersheds, Keith, and each watershed can contain multiple sources of water, anywhere from large rivers like the Choctahatchee River, the Escambia River. There's quite a few bays and creeks, Blackwater River in Santa Rosa County. And so my job is to ensure that this water is safe for drinking, swimming, and fishing.
Okay. So do you have a big staff? Because it sounds like you need a big staff.
I need a big staff. No, we really ask for a lot of volunteers. We do need the public to kind of help us on my website at www.emeraldcoastkeeper.org. We have a pollution hotline. I had some pollution reports come in this morning from Panama City and Bay County. So it's just me right now and a board of directors. And I take those reports very serious and check them out.
Yeah, sure. So how does one call the pollution hotline? How does that work?
Well, what it is, it's not really a hotline where you call in.
It's not the bat phone.
You can call. I don't have a red phone or anything in my office, but there's a place where you can log in the information and give me your email address, and it goes right to my email. Tell me what the problem might be.
Right.
And I'll get right on it and check it out.
So what are some of the common things that you see or what? If we were out there looking for it, what is it that you would like us to report?
Well, anything that looks strange in color or smell or it's kind of hard for the general public to notice things unless it really stands out because unless you're trained in water quality or you read the reports through the Florida Health Department, you're not going to be familiar with what to look for. But a lot of times if you notice any kind of industrial effluent, which means if you're in a bay or a bayou somewhere, and it's very common practice for companies to dump things into our water.
No.
Then, yes. Then, you know, definitely let me know. We've actually had companies that will put temporary pipelines and connect them to a bayou, thinking that, oh, well, nobody's checking the water, especially in the wintertime.
Right.
We don't have a lot of water quality testing. Let's see if we can sneak out there during the wintertime and get rid of it so we don't have to worry about the expense of lined ponds and that sort of thing.
Okay. So what is your largest pollution issue to date, I guess, today?
Our largest pollution issue is non-point source pollutions, which are primarily from residents. I think most folks aren't familiar or really understand that we're the ones causing the majority of the problem. Let me give you a couple of examples.
Yeah, please.
How many of you folks who are listening happen to have a lawn care service and they have nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizers laid down in their yard, or you do your own? When you get a lot of rain or you let your sprinklers on too long, well, you know, that water runs off, goes into the storm sewers, and it eventually ends up in our drinking water or in our bays and bayous. That's one of the issues that we have. Another issue is we have a few problems with people dumping oil or paint thinners or grease down their drains, and then your sewer systems get backed up. Well, where do you think that goes?
Sure.
That doesn't just go into the ground and disappear. It actually goes into our water tables, and ECUA can only do so much to clean up the water. And so every morning I go on to the swim guide, and I report water quality through all six counties to let you folks know whether there's a problem with swimming areas. It's called the Swim Guide, and you can download it. It's a free app on your phone. You can also get it on your laptop, and it's great if you have kids, because before you take your kids out there swimming, you need to know what's in it. And it's www.theswimguide.org. It's a great app for your phone, works on Androids and iPhones equally as well, and you can just pull it up, type in the beach you want to go to, and every morning I go on there and I know whether there's a problem or not. And there are several closed beaches right now due to high levels of Enterococcus bacteria. In Escambia County right now, for example, Navy Point, Bayview Park Pier, these are some places that you need to avoid. Okaloosa County is having quite a large problem, so is Walton, because of the rain last week.
Sure, just saturating the water table, huh?
Right, and even industrial sites, rain washes off into that concrete, and it still goes into the ground and goes into our water tables. So you can have a lot of chemicals and such as, you know, PAHs and dioxin and even lead and mercury. And it gets into our fish, and we end up eating it.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously, if you can't swim in these areas, you don't want to be fishing or pulling wildlife out of them either,
absolutely
right?
Not.
Okay.
No.
So, and it just occurred to me, we'll put this app link on our website for the show, so people will be able to go right there and download it. That's really cool.
That's great. It's good. It's you know, I just want to protect the community, and
sure,
that's what we're all about, because we're a grassroots nonprofit organization. We're here for the community. We don't work for the government. We don't work for anybody in particular but ourselves. We are a member of the Waterkeeper Association Alliance, which is out of New York City and is headed by Robert F. Kennedy. And we all work together, over 240 of us globally, all over the world, who try to maintain clean and healthy water for our communities.
So, and they're not all named Emerald Coast Keepers, but I've seen a lot of Coast Keeper, Keepers of the Coast. Are they all the same organization?
Similar. Some of them are not. Like my neighbor to the east of me is the Apalachicola River Keeper.
Okay, yeah, they came up
too. Right. And then my neighbor to the west of me is Casey Calloway, who is the Mobile Bay Keeper. So we get involved in a lot of different things. We try to raise money and awareness and education, educating our youth. It starts in the home so that we can try to have a better water quality in our community.
Very neat. So other than the education that you guys offer, what other services do you do to the community?
Well, like I said, the swim guide is one of the biggest ones we just started. And it's really important for the families to look at that, the moms especially, because we're the ones planning and we take our kids out there. Now, there's not going to be any posted signs out at the beach. You're not going to know. So it's extremely important that you do that. Go to my website. I have local news of what's going on. We've had the EPA just passed a new law last week, very exciting for us, that is going to help to maintain coal ash ponds for all of our power companies in the panhandle. And they're going to have to start cleaning them up. We have there's a lot of different issues going on that you're not aware of. Either it's not on the news. I try to send it to different news stations throughout the county. Sometimes they'll post it, sometimes they don't.
Right.
But you'll always find it on my website to find out what's really going on. Boil water notices. I have a Facebook page. I have a LinkedIn. I have Twitter. I have, you know, lots of social media avenues for you to check on, whether you're at home or on the road, where you can kind of check and see what's going on. And I have a, you know, website app on the phone too. So you can check the swim guide. You can also check for any reports.
Okay. So the app will give you the swim guide. Does it give you the other reports as well too? Or is it just for the swimming?
My website gives I also have a website app. So that you can just go to the website on your phone and you can get all the reports. And I have a Facebook business page as well. You can get on that. And that's where I put a lot of my health notices and boil reports on the business Facebook page.
Sure, sure. Instant, quick. Well, and we'll put all those links to that as well under the radio on our website today too. So people will be able to find that. So
fantastic.
Couple things. What are Emerald Coast Keepers' future plans?
Well, I think what we're going to do is tackle one county at a time. We're going to start off with Escambia County and make that a really good business model.
It's construction in the building. Sorry, they're putting the coffee shop in.
Well, that's all right. Better than lightning or thunder.
I thought that's true.
What it was.
That's true.
And we're going to try to work on going into the public school systems right now and doing some kind of a pledge contest between the schools to kind of get the kids kind of aware, working with the PTA. Start that first and eventually get out and do more speaking engagements and press releases to kind of let the public know we're here.
You're here.
You know, call me, email me. I never mind. I check into everything I hear. Nothing is ever too small or too big. That's the love and passion I have for my work is I want to make sure our community is safe. I have 5 children and 3 grandchildren and I want to make sure they're safe.
Yeah.
And so I have a big heart out there for our community. And, you know, the tourist dollars are important as well. And we can't afford to lose those due to unsafe and hazardous conditions.
Yeah, very cool. Well, and it's one of the reasons I invited you in here today. I saw your ad, I believe it was in the Everman's magazine. And I had no idea that you guys even existed. And then after doing some research, I thought, well, this is really cool. I've got a couple friends that they're really big with the sea turtles and they do the whole egg hatching and watching and all of that stuff. And so I've grown up here and I love the coast. So it was something that I was like, we've got to see what this is. So
great.
What can citizens do to help?
Well, like I said before, Keith, call me, email me, go to my website. Just be aware if you hear things, you know of things, you know people talk. It's a small community. Let me know what's going on. I can't do it all by myself. I really need your eyes and your ears. I need you to join with me in this coalition to keep our water safe, our drinking water safe, and make it fishable, swimmable, drinkable water for all of the 6 counties in the Panhandle.
Very neat. Okay. So one more time, what's the easiest way to contact you and get information?
Go to my website at www.emeraldcoastkeeper.org. I have several ways. I have my phone numbers, my office line. My cell phone number is on that website. My email addresses are on that website. You can become a member and join. You're welcome to come to the board meetings. Just call me and give me a ring or send me an email.
Okay. All right. Well, Lori, thank you very much for coming in today. Stick around for a little while. But Lori Murphy with Emerald Coast Keepers.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate you letting me on today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad we found out about it. I mean, truly, it was really cool to see it and then not know what it is and watch it unfold. As you guys are huge. What a huge organization to take on a very huge task. So
it is. That's why I need the public's help to kind of help with me. I'm only one person.
All right. Well, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Keith.
So, okay, let's move on. I have Patricia Madison from Campfire. How are you?
I'm doing great, Keith.
Okay, so I told you I had a story, but
yes.
I have to make sure. So, did Campfire, is this what used to be Campfire Boys and Girls?
Yes, sir,
okay,
it
then
was.
I have a story.
Oh, we got to hear the story.
When I was 16, which was a long time ago, I was in a band. And I was the first one in the band to be able to get a car. And I was like, well, we need something to haul around the band gear, right? Because we're going to get famous. We're going to need something to tote all this stuff and go on tour. So, the first car I ever bought... Brace yourselves. This is a 1978 Dodge Ram van. And on the side of it said Campfire Boys and Girls. And it had all of the handprints from the kids. Oh, puke green interior. Oh, it was fantastic. So not realizing that we were tied together, apparently I've been in your crosshairs for a while now. So, but that was my story. That was my first car. It was the ugliest van ever, but everybody loved it because it was so unique and so cool. So anyway.
very special.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to me, it was, you know, plus we got to move the band equipment for, you know, the year that we were together. So what is Campfire? Tell us.
Well, Campfire is a youth development organization. It's been around since 1910. It was founded the same year as Boy Scouts. It was an organization, Campfire for Girls. And so they were looking to give girls the same opportunities that boys had at that time. And, of course, it developed over time. In the 70s, it became Campfire for Boys and Girls because we added boys in. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, they changed it. It became Campfire. So now they dropped off, you know, the boys and girls, and I guess just kind of assumed that we have boys and girls.
Do they still have the cool vans?
No, we do still have vans, but they're not the strange color green.
Yeah, it was. I'll have to find a picture and send it to you. It was pretty
that
neat.
Would be cute.
So, well, what does Campfire do for those that don't know?
Okay, well, Campfire is prepares youth, teens, and young adults for their future, but doing it now. And we have a saying, it's, we help youth find their spark, lift their voice, and discover who they are. So with that, Campfire has many different programs that we have out there for the families, the children to get involved in. Just to name a few, we have, of course, our self-reliance team. We have traditional club like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts do. We have the family club, and we have our after-school and child care programs. And, of course, we're really involved in the community in VPK. And then, of course, every year we have our summer camp programs. And our summer camp program is based on nature and environmental camping. And so it's day camp and not residential.
And where is that here in town?
It's actually at each of our centers. We have centers in Century, Milton, Pensacola State College campus, and then our Longleaf After School program.
Very neat.
So throughout the area, we have our different programs located.
So what's the Community Family Club?
Well, the Community Family Club is a program that brings families together. You know, everyone's so busy and trying to make time when they, you know, between work and all the other things we have to do and all the things our children are involved in, is making time to actually spend the quality time with our children and being involved in something positive. And so we involved the children in emblem, basically activities that are geared towards earning emblems, and that we get the parents involved in helping the children. And so they meet either monthly or once a week, just depending how they decide to form their club. And they just get together. Usually there's a meal involved and some fun activities. And, of course, there's awards and recognitions at the end of it.
So if somebody wants to get some information on this in your family clubs, how do they do that?
They can contact us, myself, of course, by email, or they can call us at 476-1760 and just talk to any of the staff about the family club.
Okay. And then you said you do VPK as well?
We do.
So tell us about, is that at all the facilities or is that?
That is actually, it's all the facilities except the Longleaf After School, because that's an after school program.
Right.
But our VPK is geared, of course, through 4-year-olds. And it's a free program. It's voluntary preschool, basically. And they will learn basic skills, social skills. They have a great time. We have amazing teachers. I love our teachers. I get to go in there every so often and help them with something, and they just make the learning so much fun. And the VPK program goes for 3 hours a day. And then what we do is we offer the parents a wraparound, because most parents we know work. And we know that sometimes it's grandparents raising their grandkids, sometimes it's siblings raising their brothers,
right,
and sisters.
Yeah.
So the situation, so we offer child care after the VPK. And of course, that's at a fee.
Right. And I know when mine were young, the VPK was like the first chance of freedom you had in their lives. Because up until then, you're with them side by side. And so,
absolutely.
And I do have to say that my two, I know, have excelled tremendously because we started that early. Yeah. I mean, I know that's a really encouraged thing now.
Absolutely. Well, and I was on the cusp of when it was child care versus child development. And I see a big difference between my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter in how they were ready for kindergarten. Because my oldest daughter, I had to do a lot to prepare her. With my younger daughter, she got that all through the VPK.
Right, and was ready to go. And was hit the ground running.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Absolutely. So, okay, so you did the VPK, and then how does the after school work?
The after school is offered at all three of our centers except for Milton. And the after school program is basically continued care from when the kids get out of school to when the parents can, you know, come to pick them up. And so they're offered homework help, different activities, indoor and outdoor, games. Usually they're given reading times where they can just pick a book and read. They're encouraged to do that each day. And then, of course, you know, the homework help. We are working on a tutoring program, so we are looking for volunteers to come in and help our students where they may be struggling right now. You know, a lot of students struggle with reading, and we know that if students don't have, by third grade, a good reading level, they start getting left behind. So what we're trying to do now is help our students to improve their reading skills and be prepared so that they're not left behind and they're looking to have a good future. So we're looking for volunteers to come out and help us with our tutoring program. And that's at both Century, all three centers, Century, Longleaf, and PSC.
Okay, and so if they're interested, what's the easiest way for them to get in touch with you?
Probably the easiest way is by my email, which I'm sure you can put on the website.
But we would be more than happy to put it on the website.
Because it's kind of long, so I know people are going to try to write it down.
Yeah, we will. We'll put links on there to all that stuff. So, and speaking of links, you guys got some events coming up, don't you?
We do. We actually have two different things going on. The one that I have been working on for months and will continue to work on, our Parade of Trees. And we're very excited. This is our third year with the Parade of Trees. And this year we have partnered, we are so blessed, we've partnered with Penn Air Federal Credit Union.
Very cool.
And so we're very excited to have them as our partner. And so this year we are holding the Parade of Trees, November 18th and 19th will be a chance for people to come in to the Penn Air downtown branch to view the trees and wreaths. And there will be no cover charge. They just can come in during business hours 9 to 5 and look at the trees, pick out their favorites. We usually ask people to vote on favorites so we can, you know, give awards to the people that have worked so hard to decorate the trees.
Right.
And then on Friday from 3 to 8 p.m., people will be able to come in and purchase their favorite trees. And so, you know, maybe you're kind of tired of the tree you've had for years. We have some awesome trees. I have one that's really cool. It's blue and black, and it's like this royal blue, and it has black branches and blue branches. And it's not decorated yet, so I'm looking for someone to decorate it really cool. I just think it'll be such a unique tree. And then I know right now we have several. We have this beautiful white, it's like 8-foot tree that is gorgeous. And then we have several trees that have silver and gold decorations on them. They've got snow on them. They're beautiful.
Sure.
So we're getting there. I know somebody that's working on a Star Wars tree.
Very cool. All right.
We have a tree that's a house divided, Gators and Seminoles. So anyone a Florida fan, we have a tree for you. So each year, you know, we have people that'll go out and decorate. Last year, we had some really cool wreaths. We had an Alabama wreath. We had an Auburn wreath. We had, let's see, one that was really pretty bright colors, and it was a hoo wreath.
Very neat. From Dr. Seuss?
Based on that,
yeah,
that theory.
Very cool.
So, every year, you know, it's whatever people can create. So it's always a lot of fun to see what people have given us, you know, once they've decorated it.
Okay, so then they decorate them. Everybody gets to come look at them, and then they get to bid?
Actually, we're just going to have them up for purchase this year.
Okay.
We have done silent auction in the past, and we decided this year, because then people have to come back. They have to, you know, oh, wait, I need to. And since this is going on from 3 to 8 o'clock, we've decided it's just going to be open for purchase.
Okay. And then all of that money goes for Campfire.
Right. It goes to benefit all of our youth development programs.
Okay.
And we're really blessed. Dankin, which is a local company a lot of people don't know about, they're wonderful. They actually make artificial trees, Christmas trees. And they have donated a lot of stuff to us. So we are hoping to get people that want to decorate and trees and wreaths, and we actually have some of the supplies. We have some trees, we have some wreaths, and we have a lot of ornaments. A lot of ornaments.
So you can go down there. We can go down there and say, hey, I need a Christmas tree for by the fireplace, and you're going to have it. And not only that, but we can decorate it there too.
Actually, no. What people will do is they'll decorate the trees, they'll deliver them to us, and then we'll sell them there.
Okay.
And so on that Friday, people will be able to come in and purchase the decorated trees.
Okay.
So it's the trees and wreaths will be there for sale, and they'll just have a purchase price on and based on the decorations on it.
Are they going to be? Will they be authored too? Is it going to say this tree decorated by?
Actually, they will.
Every
year we make sure that whoever's decorated, their theme of the trees on there, who decorated or which organization. And then we usually make sure that we do the fan favorites. So we always put award ribbons on the trees as well.
Very cool.
Purchasing know they're getting a special tree.
Yeah. So this goes to fund your youth program. So obviously you're a very large organization doing a lot of things. So who else, who are your other business partners and sponsors? Let's make sure we mention them, first of all,
absolutely.
Because they're keeping you guys afloat. But just so everybody else in the community knows how this gets fueled.
Penn Air, like I mentioned earlier, we're so blessed to have them. Dankin, which, gave us trees and wreaths to be able to give out to be decorated. We also, Cox Communication, last year and this year that they're putting it on the air, letting people know that we're doing this event. Beaudry Printing has helped us out. And of course, we could not do this without Gilmore Services' help. Gilmore actually provides the transportation to get the big trees down to the location and to deliver them to people's homes. And they have done a fantastic job. The feedback from customers, they've even called us to say, hey, the tree got here in perfect shape. The guys were so great.
Good.
I mean, you're talking about something, of course, we use shatterproof ornaments, but still, things can happen.
Yeah. Well, and throwing them on a truck and moving them to and from.
So they're very gentle, and they're just wonderful customer service they offer.
Very neat. Okay. Well, what is the easiest way for people to check out what you do and get in touch with you?
Our website is campfirekids.com. Forgot the kids. campfirekids.com is our website. And of course, we have a Facebook page, which is for Campfire Golf Winds, Inc. And then we also have a Facebook page for Parade of Trees by Campfire.
Okay. And again, we'll put all of those links on our site as well. So people that check out the radio show will be able to click and find you.
Awesome.
So, Patricia Madison with Campfire, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you for having
me. Really appreciate you sharing your story. So hang out for a little while.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so this is Pensacola Business Radio, and we have one more lovely guest in our studio today, Colleen Chesley. How are you?
Good afternoon, Keith. I'm doing great.
So, powerful women of the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
See, I got it right this time.
You are good.
So, talk to us. I know a lot of people don't know what you do or who you are, so now's the time to tell them.
Absolutely right. And we appreciate you letting us be here, because that's absolutely what we're doing, is getting the word out. We are a women's only business organization. Our mission is to promote, advance, and improve women in business. And we actually have a pretty long story in Pensacola, although, as you mentioned, a lot of people aren't familiar with us yet. So we actually started back in 2008. And being that I'm very literal with a lot of things that I do, we originally named it Women's Business Lunch. So a lot of our listeners might have heard of us from back then. And what happened was, basically, it was three women that came together, and it was right after Hurricane Ivan. And Keith, you've been in the area for quite a while as well. So you remember, after Hurricane Ivan, the climate had completely changed. So not only did the physical landscape change, but the landscape for networking and business development changed as well.
I would agree.
Yeah, there were two other women besides myself. We weren't really good friends, but we were used to seeing each other in networking events. And we kind of ran into each other randomly out marketing and talking. And we we said, hey, what are you doing to help rebuild your business since this storm? And what are you doing now that these restaurants are closed down that we used to go to, or different organizations were not existing anymore since the storm? And the three of us kind of really didn't have a plan. So we came together and we had lunch, and we were amazed at sitting around for an hour with two other businesswomen. And it was so easy for me to tell another businesswoman what I would do if I were her. Or it was real easy for her to tell the third businesswoman what she would do if she were that woman. And after that lunch, we were so motivated, we were so encouraged, and we were so empowered. And it kind of dawned on us that, you know, that sometimes it takes us getting together to brainstorm that helps build confidence and motivation. And literally, we put the calendar back on the website, or back on the calendar for the next month. And I brought several women, and each of the other two women brought other women as well. And that's literally how we started. We never intended on starting an organization. It just happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, and here you are, an organization later. And
right.
So how many members?
Well, we don't have a traditional membership. So we don't charge for membership. We don't have an application that you fill out if you want to come to our group. And the only way I can equate it is similar to website traffic. You know, in website traffic, they talk about analytics and they talk about impressions. So an impression might be somebody visiting the website, and maybe they've visited the website a couple times in the last 6 months. Well, that would be several different impressions, because that's how many times they interacted with that right. particular website. Well, we kind of track those same statistics. And with the two different networking groups that we do, with the annual conference that now we're on our third year of doing, since 2008, we figure we've impacted about 7,000 women in this wow. area. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So with that, what events do you participate in? And I guess, aside from the impressions, obviously, to impact that many people, it's more than just a website or just a word of mouth. So,
sure.
So fill us in.
Yeah. We do monthly networking meetings, and that's how it started. So we started with one group in Pensacola that meets on the first Friday of every month. Now we have been meeting consistently at the Gulf Coast Kids House. So they are our host for the Pensacola meeting. Mm-hmm. And we tend to average about 40 to 50 women at every one of those monthly meetings. And those are always on the first Friday of the month from 11:30 to 1. No RSVP required. We supply lunch. We supply the fun and the interaction, and women enjoy that. And then we also started a Gulf Breeze group as well. So we had a lot of women that really wanted more interaction. They didn't want to wait 1 month between seeing each other. So they said, let's do something else. So we started a Gulf Breeze chapter, and that chapter meets on the third Friday of the month, same time, but that one meets at the Hampton Inn right over the Gulf Breeze Bridge.
Okay.
So real easy to get to. And about, we started Gulf Breeze in 2005. And then actually in 2012, it occurred to us that women needed more, even more education and even more opportunities to interact. And sometimes women could come to our monthly meetings, but a lot of women just weren't able to do that on a consistent basis.
Right.
So that's when we started the annual conference. And at that point, that's when we realized, okay, we can't call it Women's Business Lunch anymore. That's not effective. And we needed much more strategy and also much more formality involved in structure. And so that's when we incorporated and created the name Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast.
So, which is very impressive, by the way. I mean, huge growth for you guys, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So what does it cost to join? Not that I can join, but just
I know.
So we can tell people.
We will gladly accept your money, Keith, but
right.
we will not let you join. But actually, there's no membership fee. So any women that want to come to our meetings, and we do restrict the meetings to women only, but any women can come. So sometimes we have women that are students and that are just graduating and kind of wanting to know what they want to do in the business world. So we get some of them that attend. We get the traditional businesswoman as well that works for a large corporation, or the businesswoman that's starting something kind of on the side as their plan B. So women that work maybe a stay-at-home job, or that they have a business that they're just launching. And then we even have women that are retired. We had at this last meeting two women that stood up and said, I don't represent a business at all, but I'm here because I want to build relationships and I want to stay active in education and also interacting with women in business. Now, the way that we will let you interact with us, though, Keith, is on our annual conference. We do have a lot of men that help support us. And
sure.
obviously, you know, what we're providing is not just applicable to women. You know, a lot of the leadership skills that we talk about, a lot of the education that we supply, a lot of the networking, it applies to men or women right. as well. So we offer several opportunities where men can interact. And as a matter of fact, during this conference that's coming up, we have two opportunities where we invite men and women. And those are both opportunities that are free to attend for them as well.
Very neat. So yeah. you mentioned conference. So tell us what it is, and because I know it's part of the reason why I got you here today.
Absolutely.
So, because your partner in crime, Jennifer, who's not on microphone right now, but handed this out to me, and I said, you know, let's talk about this. So tell
Absolutely.
Everybody what this is.
This is our third annual. So this is our third one of doing this. And actually, Jennifer and I were proud to say we've survived, because the very first... And she's giggling over there in the corner. The very first one, literally, Jennifer and I pulled together on our own. And not that we didn't have help. We definitely had help. But it was pretty much the two of us coming together. And that one actually happened. I've been a speaker for Small Business Development Center over the past, I don't know how many years. And Jennifer has as well. And there was a point where they had a women's conference that they were doing for years here in the area. And unfortunately, it's slowed down. They had some problems with not having enough time to properly develop that conference. And one year I was a speaker for the conference, and Jennifer was as well. And then the next year, Jennifer was a speaker and I was MC of the conference. So it looked like we were really, you know, growing into that conference. And so that following year, Jennifer and I both said, you know, we've got some great ideas on how we could take this really good conference, but we could actually make it even better and have it applicable to that many more women. So we'd actually prepared a whole plan that we were going to talk to Small Business Development Center about and see if they would let us co-sponsor the conference with them. And sad story was, at that point, they went through some staff changes and they actually let us know, you know, hey, we'd love to hear your ideas, but we're really not going to do the conference this year. And so, you know, Jennifer and I kind of said, well, you know, hey, now we have a plan. What should we do? And Small Business Development Center was happy with us taking that ball and running with it.
You got a little kickstart, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, we had a little bit of a practice, and definitely, you know, having those plans in place helped. But that first year was tough. So here we are, you know, two conferences past that, and we're onto our third annual.
I was gonna say, isn't it neat how things work out sometimes?
It like, really is.
You really had no intention to do that on your own, and now you're doing your third one. So,
well, it's kind of scary when you put stuff like that out to the universe.
You know,
it kind of says, okay, you were going to do this, and now you're doing it.
You're doing it, whether you like it or not. Huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So for those that are, let's talk about this conference a little bit more. So I know you've got lots of speakers, but also want to make sure that anyone that's interested that wants to go or needs to get, I mean, how do they do that? Do you still have spaces left?
Absolutely. And, okay. We still have spaces left. The registration fees are going up. So anybody that's interested,
buy now.
And my background is financial advising. So buy early and save yourself some money. If you want to spend more money, that's fine too, because we'll have opportunities to buy door prizes at the, buy tickets for door prizes at the conference as well. But the conference is coming up next Friday. It's October 16th. And it's going to be at Sanders Beach, which is an awesome venue.
Yeah, it's a really neat facility.
Beautiful, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And that's important a lot of times for women. As I mentioned, in the financial industry, I go to a lot of male conferences and male design conferences, and they're in a box inside of a hotel that you never get to see the outside of.
Yeah.
So it was important for us to find a place that's more of an experience. And people can come to our website. It's powerfulwomengulfcoast.com. And they can purchase tickets there. They can also, there's information on the website where they can call us if they'd rather send in a check for registration or pay with cash for registration. They can definitely do that. The registration fees right now are $75. And as I mentioned, they will be going up. So if they wait till next Friday, they'll be $100 at the door.
Okay. So... who are your speakers? And let's let them know what the content of all of this is.
Absolutely.
Obviously, that's your selling point.
Absolutely. But. Yeah, we call it the Pursue Your Passion Conference. So it's really about women empowering themselves to get the education that they need to do what they want in business. And this year, our theme for the conference is effective business communication. And we're really proud to have brought in a keynote speaker from New York. Her name is Robin Hatcher, and she is actually a renowned actress, and she was trained on stage and also in television. So if you're a big CSI fan or an evening drama fan, she does a lot of walk-on roles for those types of programming. But because of her traditional acting knowledge, she has really learned how to tell a great story. Actresses have to be able to tell a really good story.
Sure.
And she's also been trained on how to change and adapt to different roles. And for her, she left the acting world and went into being a trainer of professional speakers. So she helps train people on how to captivate an audience and how to appeal to a group within the room. She's not going to come and talk about that because we don't have a room full of people that want to be professional speakers.
Right, right.
But she's going to talk about the value of interpersonal communication. So she's really going to talk about, from a business perspective, if you walk into a room and you're there to pitch an idea to a group of 10 different people, very quickly, how do you judge that room and how do you adapt to those different personalities?
Right.
Not change who you are, but utilize the strengths from within you to better connect with that audience. And just like in any conversation, just like in the acting world, she feels like there's always a villain, there's always a hero, there could be a protagonist, there's different roles within those conversations. So her goal is to help us bring back some tools and tips that will help us learn how to adapt those into our everyday business communication.
Wow, that's very neat.
It's very cool. It's very cool. And I know you want to meet her. So you can't come to the conference, but you could come to the event the night before the conference. We have a Meet the Speaker social on Thursday the 15th. That actually is going to be held at Vince Wibbs Automotive at their Cadillac dealership. And Robin will be there as well.
Very cool.
Great time for anybody that can't make the conference. If they still want to kind of meet her and pick her brain a little bit, she won't be speaking at that event, but she'll be there to just interact. And
can't get her early enough to come in the studio, could we?
We might be able to negotate something.
The door's open, so that would be really neat.
But it would be very cool. Man,
that sounds really fun and exciting. Yeah. And I'm not familiar with her stuff, but back when I did Leadership Pensacola with Jennifer, we went through some of that stuff where they did sort of who's the antagonist in the room, who's the really, really good, effective ways to do business that a lot of people aren't aware of. So
absolutely,
from my experience with stuff like that, I'm sure this is going to be very exciting.
Oh yeah. I'm very excited about having her here. She is the keynote speaker. We also have three other speakers that day. And what we do is we do something a little bit different. Have you heard of TED Talks?
Yes.
Okay.
I love TED Talks.
A lot of people are familiar with TED Talks. And TED Talks are picking up a lot of steam, and they're real exciting because they're back-to-back short presentations, but they're really impactful and they're really power-packed. And so
really great subjects too.
They really are. They really are. And so we couldn't take over TED. I mean, we can take over the world, but we can't take over TED. So
right.
We had to create something that was similar to TED, and we called it PED Talks. So PED actually stands for Professional and Executive Development. And we do almost the exact same format. We actually trim down their time just a little bit, and we do a video introduction that's going to introduce them. But we always ask for local community leaders to do our PED Talks. So this year, we're really, really proud to have Pam Hatt. Pam is the Vice President of Marketing for Penn Air Federal Credit Union. She is a phenomenal woman, and she is actually going to talk about women leading women. That's her big thing, is that she thinks that there need to be more women leaders pulling up other women in the community as well. So that's her PED Talk, is going to be about women leading women. And then we've got Cindy Warren. Cindy is the managing partner of Warren Averett, largest CPA firm in town. She's also the president this year of Impact 100. And so her presentation is going to be on women philanthropy. And within Impact, of course, you can give money to show that you're philanthropic. But she's also going to talk about other ways to give that shows your philanthropy. So her talk is going to be real exciting. And then we have Amy Remington. Amy Remington is the general counsel of Landrum Companies. And being an attorney, she knows all the legal ramifications of not only legal, but legal within the HR field.
Sure.
So what she's going to talk about is she's going to talk about the rights and responsibilities of women in the workforce. And her big thing is women have done a great job getting up there into the executive world, but are we doing it in the right way? And are we equipped to handle the responsibilities that executive leadership comes with? So that's her PED Talk. So we're excited to have those three back to back. Again, it's going to be real exciting to have them on stage, one right after the other, with a video introduction as well.
Very neat. Well, Cindy has been on Pensacola Business Radio when we were doing the remote broadcast. Pam, that's actually the fourth time her name has been mentioned today.
Nice.
We were in here, we were doing an Eggfest broadcast earlier, and so we were talking about, so when you see Pam, I would like to ask her if her Olay campaign will carry into her PED talk.
Oh, I'll have to ask her.
And Amy, actually, I think we'll be coming on with Landrum on Thursday because we're going to do a show with them. So
wonderful.
Small circle. And this is cool because we're all sharing the same stuff. So
absolutely.
I'll make sure to maybe poke the bear a little bit and see if we can't get you some more promotion.
Absolutely. That would be great. That would be wonderful.
Let's tell everybody one more time where they can find the information or get tickets and all that good stuff.
Our website is www.powerfulwomengulfcoast.com. They can go right to the website. They can see the speaker lineup. They can see a lot of more information that's going on the day. We also have an experience hall. We have what we call speed learning, which is a lot of fun as well, in addition to networking and lots of other fun activities at the day. And they can purchase tickets right there. They can also go to our Facebook page. We have two different Facebook pages. One is called Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast, and that's a page that you like. And you'll see feeds from us and other members that'll post information. The other Facebook page that we have is called Women's Business Lunch Gulf Coast. And because Facebook, unfortunately, when you start a group page, you can never, ever change the name of it.
I'm very aware.
Yes. So we've got that page from the archives. And we actually are keeping that page alive because what that page has done is there's a lot of women and men included that post business information. And we only can hit the 50 people that come to our monthly meetings, but on our Facebook page, we can hit thousands of people or millions if it gets shared.
Sure.
So we encourage a lot of people to join that page. We are pretty restrictive. We do not let pedophiles on that page. We do not let people that look like they're trying to, you know, just get into the women's market for, you know, unethical reasons.
Right.
And then we also make sure that they're in the local area. So we do get requests all the time from out of the area that want to be on that page, but we really want it to appeal to local business information. So we're pretty particular about making sure that they do fit those rules, and we do let men on there as well.
Sure. Well, and I'm sure the local business owners will thank you for that.
Yes.
If they won't, I will thank you on their behalf.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Colleen, thank you very much for coming in and joining us today. I really appreciate it. And to our other guests, Lori and Patricia, thank you as well. You guys can find us at Pensacola Business Radio on Facebook, at Pcola Radio X on Twitter, or you can visit our website where we are streaming live now, and this interview will be up later today at www.pensacola.businessradio.com. So again, ladies, thank you all for coming in today. This is Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.